Turn to Judges chapter number 9. Judges chapter number 9, and stand with me, if you will. We'll read a little bit together, and then we'll get right into the message tonight. Judges chapter 9 and verse number 7. If you'll look at it with me, it says, "And when they told it to Jotham," I corrected that for you, preacher. I called him Jotham, and preacher says Jotham. So I'm listening to him. Amen? In East Texas is Jotham. "When they told it to Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim, lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, 'Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive trees, Reign thou over us. But the olive trees said unto them, Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And then said all the trees unto the bramble," that would be Abimelech here in the chapter. And by the way, it means worthless, if you will. And I can't develop all this tonight. You'll study that on your own. But it says, "Come thou and reign over us." Verse 15. "And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow." Boy, that's a good statement there you need to take note of. It ought not be in his shadow, it ought to be in the shadow of God. Amen? "And if not, let fire come down, come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." Now again, there's a lot of text here and a lot of teaching in these few verses that can go on for weeks. But I want to bring you to this thought tonight, and here's the title of the message. I will not step down. I will not step down. Father, we love you and thank you again for the honor and privilege to be here with Dr. Nash and his good people and his family and get to fellowship and meet with them. All I pray, God, is you'd bless every single one of them. I pray that you'd give them fruit for their labor individually and corporately as a body. And Lord, you just continue to grow the church as you're doing. Grow it in the Word of God. Establish them in truth. And so many things they'll get to learn over the next several weeks with that. But Lord, not only that, but establish them in numbers. And the numbers is that which brings in other children of God, maybe just saved and need to be taught, maybe already saved, need a good church home. And so, Lord, we're praying that you would use that to grow your church, grow it financially. Grow it physically, but grow it spiritually as well. And so, Lord, have your will and way. I pray tonight something will be said to end this meeting this week and challenge each one, Lord, to make major decisions tonight in their life for your honor and your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake only we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We have here, as we've stated a moment ago, a parable of the trees. The trees were offered, listen to me carefully, they were disposed here to choose a king over them. The government was offered to those valuable trees. I know that sounds a little bit funny, but say with me, remember it's a parable. And it went on to say here that as we read a moment ago, the olive tree, the fig, and the vine refused, choosing rather to serve than to rule. But the same offer being made to the bramble accepted with vainglorious personal exaltation, if you will, come put your trust in my shadow. Now, I want you to be aware of those who are always wanting to be seen. Those that are always wanting to be recognized, if you will. They're in every church. I don't mean we have to run them off, but we can pray for them. We can help them along the way. You know, God deals with humble folk, doesn't he? He deals with willing folk. He deals with folk that are hungry for his blessings on their life. But beware of those who are always wanting to be seen. And always those who want to be pointed out and recognized. I put this in there. How about giving us a handful of those who want to serve? Amen. Then to have to take a place in ruling and being the big shot all the time. And if you'll do that, God will build a great work here at Gospel Light Baptist Church. Now, this meeting was taking place in the forest. That's where trees are. Amen? And I want to just share it with you before I give you a few points about these trees mentioned here. Looking back at verse number 9, but the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees. Now listen carefully. Let me tell you what it's talking about. And again, I can't develop it like your preacher would, maybe in a class or whatever. It will be one of my branches, if you will. The tree is telling us, the olive tree. It'll be one of my branches that will be carried to Noah by way of the dove, while Noah waited in that great ark for the waters to assuage or go down, if you will. God used that branch from that olive tree to let him know it was all right and that it was time for the grounds to begin to dry up. Next, we are God's messengers, is what he's saying. We are the olive leaf to tell a world if they'll trust God in that day and Jesus in our day, there'll be no more judgment, if you will, but the bema seat that we all know of. Then the olive tree went a little bit farther and he said, if you will, it'll be my oil that will burn in the tabernacle to light the table of showbread. And there is no more important job in all the world. Why would I want to step down? We are the light of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus has said to you and I in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, we are the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth, and we should never lower ourselves to be like the rest of the world. And I think you agree with that. Or become anything less than what God has created us to be through the new birth, if you will. Can I tell you what the olive tree went on to say? He said, I make the lights to burn in kings' palaces. If it were not for me, the palace would be in darkness. And can I say, without the light today in the Lord Jesus and through our life, this world would be in complete darkness. I want you to look at, hold your place, go to 1 Peter with me. When I thought about the light burning in kings' palaces, I thought about a scripture that Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2. And verse number 9 and 10. He says here in verse number 9 of 1 Peter 2, watch it now, but you are a chosen generation. Watch it now. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of what? Darkness into this marvelous light. Look at verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about others who will trust Christ in the future and become a part of this group, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So he says, I make the lights to burn in King's palace. Hear me. If we're of the royal priesthood, should we not make the light to burn brightly and light in the world in which you and I live? Absolutely. We serve a greater king. We serve a greater place of royalty than anyone will ever. And that's in God's heavens right now. And later some of that we'll enjoy on this earth to a certain extent. He said this, if he were to write, he said, it's my oil, said the olive tree, that has anointed the heads of kings like Saul and King David and others. You see how important this tree is? For the things that we've already mentioned. Remember, it was I, he said, who God commanded Israel to cultivate, listen, in the land of promise when they got there. Deuteronomy 28, you can read from verse 40 on to find that. It was the cherubims made of wood. Hear me now. That were placed in Solomon's temple that came from this olive tree. He went on to say, I'm used in food. I'm used by the widow to bring forth light to her lamp so she might see to be able to sow in her day. I don't know about you, but if I was that tree, I wouldn't want to step down either. It's got a very important part in God's creation. By the way, everything in God's creation has a wonderful part in their own manner and their own way. He said, I'll not bring myself down, hear me, to be a king. I am useful more in what I have been created to do and created to be. Realizing there isn't but one king for them and for us, and it's God, the God of creation. Then there's a fig tree. Go back to our text. I got some points for you here in a minute. Let's just play with the trees a little while. Amen? Look at the fig tree in verse number 10. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Now listen to me carefully. I'm not going to be ruler over all the other trees, he said. He said, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit? Why should I lower myself to be king over the other tree? Watch, it was I who Adam and Eve dressed themselves with after they fell in the Garden of Eden. You'll remember that story? Genesis 3:7, so we don't have to go back there. He went on to say, if you will, I am a most common tree found throughout Palestine, found throughout Egypt, and today in Israel and so many other places, even in America. He went on to say, I'm used as a remedy to heal Hezekiah from the boil that he nearly died of. A lump of figs was gathered together in smushed or whatever the word is, amen. And they took it and laid it on that boil on Hezekiah. Listen, and the Bible said this, he recovered completely. Isn't that amazing? How many of you think these trees are important so far? Can I tell you, Christian, listen to me. Oh, let me go on. I missed one. I remember writing this down. He said, I'm using cakes that were sent by Abigail to David. I'm putting cookies of little children to bring sweetness to the taste. Wish it had been peanut butter. But anyways, watch this. Wrote this in here. And Christian, hear me well here now. You're the only sweetness this world knows. Do you hear me? You know what they needed in the Brad Kavanaugh? They needed a big washing of Christianity. That's what they needed. They needed the sweetness of the Christian world to saturate that place. And still do, by the way. If that tree could speak, he went on to say, I grace the tables of great feasts. And I like this, I'm tasted by the rich and I'm tasted by the poor. It's kind of like the gospel, amen? It don't matter where you come from. It don't matter whether you're rich or poor. It don't matter whether you're black or white or brown or green or whatever you are. It's the sweetness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ given to you and I to taste of. He went on to say, it is I that Jesus uses as an illustration in the New Testament when he said, summer is now nigh at hand. My good friend, I mentioned all week, Dr. Bob Smith has big old fig tree bushes in his backyard. I mean, it was loaded down to where the branches were doing this, kind of like your last campaign last year. I mean, they were hanging over. He called me, he said, Carl, you ain't going to believe what happened. I said, what happened? He said, them stinking foxes eat every single fig off my fig tree. And as I got over to help him that way, there wasn't a one left. I mean, if a preacher could cuss, he was wanting to. Amen? But Jesus used the fig tree, ladies and gentlemen, to remind them summer is now nigh at hand. And boy, that's a message within itself. The fig tree said, no, I will not come down. I'll not step down to become your king. I am more useful in what I've been created for. There's another one quickly, verse 12. Then said the trees under the vine, come thou and reign over us. Listen carefully. He said, should I leave my wine which cheereth God and man? By the way, you can argue all you want to, but they didn't use fermented wine that made you sick, drunk, and everything in there. But they did use wine in that day. You go to the New Testament and God, if you will, protected that word wine. Amen. In fact, he called it the fruit of the vine. Isn't that good? Amen. So we're talking about the vine here. And listen to me. Let me tell you how it's important to this tree. He said, why Jesus will use me, he said, in many parables. Christ even refers to himself as the vine. Yes. Jesus will work a miracle with me at the wedding. Where? In Cana of Galilee. You remember that? He said, I'm important in what I am right now and what God created me to be. He said, I adorn the tables of great feasts that are held by mighty rulers, even other kings. I'm used to heal the sick, a little wine for the stomach's sake, if you will. I was telling Miller's right there. We went, my mind gets crazy here. I asked my wife, you got my list? Because names, you know, unless you're with them all the time. We talking about night. You know, listen to it. My dad-in-law had drank a glass of red wine ever since I've known him. He's never been a drunk. He's knocking out. He doesn't drink anything else. But he's 92 years old. And it's wine that has very low level of whatever you call that junk, alcohol or whatever. That's alcohol for you Yankees, amen? For us Southerners, it's alcohol. Somebody asked me, what is alcohol? Well, I just explained it to you, and that's enough. Now, I don't know whether that let him live to 92 years old. I kind of wished he'd go on. You know, people live 92 years old and still work kind of just upset me a little bit because you want to retire and you can't because they're 92-year-old still working. I don't know if that bothers you. It bothers me. He said, I'm used to heal the sick, a little wine for the stomach's sake. You know, they'll use me, and at one time they may very well had at the beginning. I don't know. But they use him in certain feasts and things that they do in that day, as I said. And all that said, he said, I'll not stoop down to become king over the other trees, for I'm being used in what God created me for. You know, there's an oak tree in my front yard and my backyard. And I wrote this down, and oak is one of the most loved trees in the world, and with good reason. It's a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of resistance. It's a symbol of knowledge. In mythologies, which no doubt none of us believe in, but it was linked in their religion to powerful gods. But can I remind you, it's the true God that created it. In our text, in the parable of the trees here, they deal with the Creator and true God and the trees that He alone created. That's why they realize they could not step down from what God created them to be. The oak symbolizes a fresh start in life. Positive energy, good health, a bright future. But all that symbolization. A tree grows old. Oak tree grows old. But now listen to me. It always bears seeds that reproduce it for other trees. Do you know you and I as children of God are to reproduce? Take your Bible, go to Psalm 126, for one we all know real well. But I want to just read it to you before we move on. Psalm 126, you know it. Look down at verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious what? Seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You understand that you and I are to reproduce other Christians. I think you understand that. And I'm going to share with you some thoughts that will help you in the importance that you are to be to God as He has saved you, as He has created you to be, even through salvation in your life. Listen carefully. Number one, your job or your responsibility of being a Christian to a lost and dying world is an important job, and you should never want to step down from it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 9 and 10. One more time, look here. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, child of God. That's you, that's I. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. When I read that part that you should show forth, I thought about that big oak tree in my front yard. It always shows itself. It'll turn green, stay green forever, and it'll create acorns, if you will, for other animals to feast off of, for other animals to come and lodge in the limbs and the branches of the tree. And you know what? We need to be like that oak tree. We need to be that where they can come and they can find food, they can find health, they can find lodge in our Christian lives as we help them through life for themselves in the Lord. So your job of being a Christian to a lost and dying world is a very important job. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, and as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My, how important it is that you and I stand where God has us and created us for and never step down. That verse there in 1 Peter tells us that we who are saved are someone that is very important to God, and we should never want to be anything but important to God. And we have one who is already our King, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christians walking around today almost apologizing for being a follower of Christ now. But my Bible said, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am so glad he threw that out there for the Greek. Amen. I'm not a Jew, and maybe you are, but if you're not, God allowed you to become a part of that family. Sometimes young people tend to be a little ashamed of being a believer. Let me say something to you young people. We need young people today to step forth and be proud to be a believer. Young people to step forth and be willing to proclaim the gospel, to be willing to be the light of the world, to be willing to be different from others out there that are trying to tear down our way of life, trying to tear down our gospel, trying to tear down the Bible, the Word of God. We need to be different. We need to be like the trees. God created me. God created me in Christ Jesus. And I am created for this and this and this. And we could go into a whole list of things, but created to bring honor and glory to Him. You know, I've been the other trees in the forest of the world. I've been there. Most of you have been. I don't think anybody was born saved. So in some way, I had somebody tell me one time, well, you know what, preacher? I've been in church all my life, went to a Christian school all my life. Yeah, but you was a sinner just like I was. You got saved, you got born again. And I've been around Christians that have been in church all their life. And I've been around Christian school children, been in Christian school all their life, and they still get in trouble. It's when they step down from being what God created them to be. And ladies and gentlemen, you hear it week in and week out. What God's created you to be, what God's created you to do, where God's created you to go, and you need to be obedient in that thing. You don't need any more. Listen, you don't need King Self. You don't need King Satan. Hello? You need King Jesus. I've been to other trees in that forest of the world, and I wouldn't trade being a Christian for anything. I wouldn't trade being a Christian for all the money in the world. I wouldn't trade being a Christian for being the king of any country. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to take pride in who we are. That's what the trees were doing. What? You want me to step down? Look what I do. Look how many people I touch. Is that your life? Look what God created me. Look what I'm doing. Look how many people's lives I've been able to touch. Because God created me into this world, but He recreated me, if you will, in Christ Jesus. And He's given me a job and a responsibility, and I will not step down. I want to take pride that we belong to Jesus Christ and that we've been chosen in salvation and service, even special calling. I'm glad God called me to preach. I've never apologized for it. There's been some people that said, I don't know why God called him to preach. But you got news, let me tell you, that's all right. They can say all they want to. God called me to preach, and I'm going to do the best I can until He comes. Amen. Amen. I'm not as good as others, and they're not as good as me, and we ought not be in that ballpark anyways. We'll all be the same in Christ, doing what God created. By the way, fig tree and oak tree are two different trees altogether. And the vine, totally different. Ought to take pride in who we are. We need to have, listen, we need not have to look up to anyone. We're in the family of God, royal priesthood. Why should I want to become anything else? Amen. You've had the opportunity to make decisions this week. And don't sit out there unless you're just dead. Don't sit out there and tell me God hadn't spoken to you in some way, somehow. Now, I know people don't use an altar very often. I've had people tell me over all those years of pastor and preacher, I don't need to come to an altar. I can pray right where I'm sitting. You know what that speaks to me of, unless you're crippled? Pride. What about just a humble spirit? You know, they used to go to the altar in the Old Testament and they'd carry sacrifice every time they went, or they wouldn't be received in that day. And yet, He's our sacrifice. And all we got to do now is bring ourselves to an old-fashioned knee, to an old-fashioned altar, and cry out to God and remind God what He already knows. God, I'm not perfect. I'm not living the way I ought to live. But Lord, I want to. I desire to. I don't want to step down. And by the way, if you don't, you will step down. It's just a matter of time. So, your job being a Christian to a lost and dying world is a very important job, a responsibility God gave you. Secondly, and I put you in here with me, preacher, your job of being a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a missionary or an usher or a bus worker or a children's church worker or any other special labor in the Lord's service is as important as any of the others. What do you mean? Your job is more important than Brad Kavanaugh's job. Your job is more important than President Trump's job. Did you hear what I said? Well, it don't pay as much. Oh, it pays greater than that. I love walking around serving the Lord and having the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's not money, but it makes me feel good about it all. Huh? Knowing that I'm pleasing God, knowing that God, you know me, I'm not perfect. By the way, I have to die daily to my flesh. Huh? Paul did. We all need to. And say, Lord, new day. Sun's not out. I'm already disturbed. Except in Texas. And if it ain't out there, I'm worshiping God and praising God and whatever. You know, I can't understand why preachers, preacher, I'm not against anybody, but I wrote this in. I'm going to preach it tonight. I can't understand why preachers want to run for a political office. Yeah. I can't understand why preachers want to run for the governor's office. You say, why don't you do that? Because I know people that tried that. God didn't call you. If God called you to be a politician, I'm not so sure God does that. But if God calls you to be a politician, go for it. Yeah. Be a good Christian politician. Be a good Christian councilman. Be a good Christian governor. Whatever it is. But God called us to be soul winners. Amen. God called us to be knowledgeable of the Word of God, that we may present the Word of God. And it will change more lives than government ever thought about, or any king ever thought about, or any governor ever thought about. I have a name. I'm not going to mention it because it's not too far from you here. And I'm not against it, just listen to me carefully. He's at the Capitol building as a minister, Independent Baptist. Good guy. But he's there at the Capitol in that area constantly. Now here, man, I know this sounds maybe not quite right, but he ought to be in the nursing homes. He ought to be visiting his old people that can't get out anymore. He ought to be ministering to the people. And I'm not saying he doesn't do some of those things, but I know him and I know the ministry and I know the guy that's in his church is in that ministry and I love the guy that's in his church in that ministry, but he's a missionary. He's a missionary to the United States. And by the way, that's a calling. And I'm a preacher. God didn't call me to be a senator. Hello, I'm not going to step down. God didn't call me to be a Republican, even though I am. God didn't call me to be a Democrat, and nobody ought to be. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The only thing about that, preacher, is my mom and daddy were Democrat back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, whatever. But that, by the way, back in the 50s, 60s, they remembered who the workers were. Yes, sir. Today they don't do that. Amen. And get out of there, preacher. You done stepped down too far right there. Listen, I said something about Democrats here a while back. I had faces go. I thought, oh, Lord, it's like hitting somebody's thumb with a hammer. It's terrible. Pastor friend told me several years ago he ran for city council and he lost. He only got 8 votes. You think maybe it's because he stepped down from his real calling?
Yes, sir.
Hmm? I'm not talking about quit your job, unless it's at a beer joint, or unless you're over here at the casinos. Y'all got casinos down here? Don't in every corner in Texas and Mexico, amen? Louisiana. But I believe it's because he stepped down from his calling. Teacher, you're here today, you that are teachers, or will be, or shall be, or want to be. You're important. Every soul that gets saved through your class, you have a part in by teaching them the pure Word of God. How many times have you been the fig tree to where you bring sweetness into the life of somebody? Look up here. People coming to church need somebody with a sweet spirit, not a judgmental spirit. Not, well, you're not our kind, or you don't look as good as we do. I'm talking about a loving spirit, a graceful spirit, a humble spirit, a caring spirit, a sweet spirit, if you will. I love to teach. I love to preach, but I love to teach. I love to get involved with the people, you know, and they talk back to me a little bit, as long as they don't get sassy. Or, by the way, doing that in class or teaching in Bible college for all those years, they know how to get you to chase rabbits, which means you get off the subject matter. It don't happen anymore. I've been around that thing too many times. Amen? Workers, bus workers, listen to me. You probably, as far as I'm concerned, have the higher calling of any of us in here tonight. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, look down if you will to verse number 1 there, and just read along with me as I read out loud, if I can ever get over there. Watch this. Matthew 18, verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus and saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, I was thinking he's probably going to say, well, my father is, or you know, Moses is there, or whatever. He said, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called on a little what? Called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Look up here. You know what it takes humility to come to an old-fashioned altar? You know what you're afraid of? You're afraid if you get up and move, somebody say, well, I wonder what's going on in his life. Look up here. I know what I'm talking about. Well, if I get up and go there, they're going to think something's going on in my life. They'll think something's wrong with our marriage. They'll think something. Why don't you just shut up? That's Texan too. I apologize. Why don't you just let people respond to God? Can you imagine a whole line of Jews carrying their sheep under their arm, going up to the tabernacle in that day, and all of them saying, well, I wonder why he's here. No, you ought to be saying, look at there. God bless them. They're going to an old-fashioned altar to meet with an old-fashioned God and Holy Spirit of God. But look, it gets better. Look here, verse 4 again. Whosoever thou shall humble himself to this child, same as great as the kingdom of heaven, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth what? I know I've done this before, but I do it every time I preach. I just have to do it because I believed in the bus ministry. I still do. Thank God the two churches I pastored still had the buses, okay? Vans and buses. I like vans. Buses are so stinking expensive. They're hot. And they cost a lot of money. Amen. Watch it now. You've seen me do it, haven't you? You know what I'm fixing to do? Watch. If I can do it. If I fall, it's because of my foot. Anybody ever seen them little kids get on your bus like that or van? When you receive one little child, you receive who? Me. Hang on, bus workers. When you get hot, sweaty, cold, ice on the ground, you don't feel like going, you don't feel like visiting, understand that God has set this as a very special time and a very special event in your life. Don't step down. Let them kids step up on your bus and let Jesus step up with them, and you'll begin to, down the road, see victory in some, not all, but some of those bus kids are going to get saved and born again. You're going to love them. They're going to get involved in church activities, and later on, they're going to graduate, and they're going to go off to Bible college, and they're going to come back and say, that was my church home. That's the place that people paid attention to me, loved me in spite of me.
Yes.
I don't know about you. That does. I'm thinking of names in my head right now. It does something for me. So teacher, bus worker, your job is so very... Look at chapter 19. We're already here. I'm watching the clock. I'm late again. Chapter number 19. Look, my wife reminds me of that. Nobody else do, okay? Look at verse 13. Then were brought unto him little children. That he should put his hands on them and pray. You know what most people say? Get out of here, you running old little brat. Hello? I've literally watched people just avoid the kids. Afraid that snot's going to get on them. Every kid climbs on a bus doesn't have parents that love them like you love yours. Or they're not saved and don't know how to love them. Sometimes getting rid of the kids on a Sunday morning or a Saturday event is so they can run down where they want to go while you're gone. I have gone back, literally myself, gone back, carried kids, dropped them off, parents be gone years ago. You know what I did? I sat right there or I left one of our adults right there until I could get the others delivered, and I'd come back, pick them up, and wait till parents got home. And boy, did they get an earful. Sweetly. Somewhat. Amen. Our neighborhoods are full of parents who don't raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're going to be sometime the only person they got that's going to care for them in that manner. Is that not worth standing up for God? Huh? Is that not worth carrying out the responsibility and the job, if you want to call it, that you're going through, even when it gets difficult, even when it feels like you can't go a step farther? Think about Jesus climbing up on that bus. Think about that young teenager coming into your Sunday school class. Whatever it might be, they may become your soul-winning partner one day. May become your preacher. Oh, but Jesus said, verse 14, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such kingdom of heaven. He laid his hands on them. I'm telling you, Jesus took time for the kids, did he not? Shouldn't we? You children's church workers, listen to me carefully. I'm almost done here. Every time you get to feeling unimportant, just remember you are the vine that brings gladness and happiness in the lives of every one of those that God allows you to bring in. Those you bring in that, and Jesus is able to change their life and show them the real love of a child of God for others. We didn't used to get a lot of people wanting to volunteer for children's church. And after going back here a time or two, I kind of understood. But here was the real reason. They didn't think it was that important. Our future workers in the church I was in East Texas, that, by the way, are serving in my son's church right now. Some of them are in Bible college. Some of them right now, when he left the other day, one of them, Troy, which one? Arms. Trent. Trent's in the pulpit. Sent his picture. Trent, stand in the pulpit, preaching the gospel. Kids like that need us. Families need us, but we cannot step down. Every once in a while, I get the opportunity to go to another church and preach. Someone will come up and ask me to sign their Bible. I don't mind doing that. You know, I've seen it done all. I've got Bibles that I had signatures in, and I've given them to my sons when they went out into the ministry. And I got some great men of God that are no longer here sign my Bible. But one time I was in a little town outside by Lake Whitney, south of the Metroplex there, and there was a young boy there. I don't know if you've ever had Brother Gary Way or not. Have you ever had Brother Gary Way to Israel, missionary to Israel? He used to pastor in Gainesville, Texas. Well, we was out at his daddy's place out in the country there near Lake Tawakoni, or not Lake Tawakoni, Lake Whitney. And what's his name, dear? the grandson that signed my Bible. Help me out. You're supposed to be helping me preach here. Daniel. No, not Daniel. Wasn't it? Andrew. There you go. I knew you'd get it. I knew you wouldn't let me down. I knew you wasn't going to step down. Andrew signed my Bible and said, "Why'd you do that?" He come up wanting me to sign his Bible. I said, "If you'll sign mine, I'll sign yours." He's a teenager today. He's been called to preach. His daddy's a pastor in Houma, Louisiana. His granddad is missionary to the children of God, Israel, Jews. Y'all listen? Next time you have a teenager come into your class, you that work with youth, or next time you have a junior age boy and girl come into your class or in children's church, junior church, whatever you got, every once in a while say, stop and talk with them a little bit. Hey, how'd it go in school today? Hey, how's this? How's that? I don't ever ask them how it goes at home because sometimes that's not a good subject matter. Amen? But you can stop and say, hey, before you leave, let me pray for you and your mom and dad and your home. You'll be shocked what you get. Well, I don't have a mom anymore. That'll break your heart. You know why I said that to you tonight? Because too many people stepping down when they ought to be stepping up. Amen. You know what them trees said? And I'm done. What them trees said was this. God created me to be a fig tree. God created me to be a vine. God created me to be an oak. God created me to be this. God created me to be that. And I don't have any reason, I don't have any desire to step down from what God created me to be. You ever heard of a sparrow coming around and just lighting on your tree in the front yard? I don't want to be a sparrow. No. Well, we got Christians hollering out. Well, they're not. I've never heard them holler. They holler out when they quit church, when they quit their classes, when they quit the bus ministry, when they quit going soul winning, when they quit tithing. Are y'all listening? Ladies and gentlemen, this is your last night of this revival meeting. And I'm telling you right now, God's looking at us tonight. He's talking to you and He's talking to me. I've created you for me, for my glory, to bring me honor and glory. Wherever I set you, if it's just in a local church to be helpful, whatever it be, whatever class He puts you in, whatever ministry He calls you to, but be so careful because along the way the devil's following. Out in south of Fort Worth, there is a outside theater event called The Promise. And in that theater event, it goes with the life of Peter and how he denied the Lord, and it carries you all the way to Calvary. The whole time that event's going on outside, they call it the Passion Play in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. But they call it The Promise out there in Granbury, wherever it's at. And everywhere Peter went, preacher, they had a guy dressed up in a costume type thing like a devil, okay? Everywhere Peter went, that devil was just like this. And he followed him. Followed him in that story. Followed him in there when he sat down with those he shouldn't have been sitting with. The devil just hanging out there. Followed him into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he fell asleep. Y'all remember the story? He followed him when he stood before the Lord and said, "Lord, I'll die. I'll go to jail for you. I'll go to prison for you." He said, "Before the cock crows three," he said, "you will have denied me three times." "No, not me, not me." But he did, didn't he? Because that devil's following him everywhere. Look up here. I said at the beginning of this meeting, that devil's here tonight. He's been here all week. He's kept some of you away from bending your knee. By the way, the altar begins right here. But it does take you. That's why these altars are here. That's why these front pews are here. That's to get you to humble yourself. Now, I'm not looking for numbers. I'm not writing it down anywhere. I just know that when you make a move, God makes a move. And when you say, "I can make a move from where I sit," you're full of yourself and you're full of pride. Unless you're physically unable. When you ought to get up and come and tell God, "I'm serious. God, you have created me for all of this, and I am not going to ever step down." Soul winner, you're the greatest tree in the forest. Don't ever step down by trying to be what you are not created to be. Exalt the position that God has placed you in. Let me repeat that. Exalt the position that God has placed you in. I just wrote these down. I kind of a blessing to Brother Thomas back here. Don't just be an observer, be a server. Don't just be a comer, be an overcomer. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it, huh? Don't step down. This don't rhyme, but don't step down. But please step up. When you come tonight to an old-fashioned altar, you're telling God, I'm stepping up. I'm not about to step down from what you created me to be. God's spoken to some of you this week and you hadn't done a thing about it. Try going to the priest to offer up prayer and ask them to pray and intercede for you without a sacrifice. It wouldn't happen. Jesus has already been sacrificed for you. And all we got to do is step up. Step up. Step up, find you an old-fashioned altar, bend your knee. If you can't bend your knee, sit on the front pew showing you're humble before God. You're in a place of humility, and God will lift you up and God will bless you in a major way. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, your Savior, and most of you have been here every night, God bless you for your faithfulness. But if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. That's the reason He sent Christ, so that you could have that everlasting life through Him and through the blood that was shed. The child of God, you and I who have been born again and have accepted Christ and accepted the full pardon of sin through the blood, we got to step up. Step up. Hear me. Not long ago, I was on a ladder working for the youth department. I'm just dumb. But I climbed that ladder all the way up there. And in fact, I stacked two chairs, wasn't it, dear? Stacked two chairs, got up on a two chair, big chair like it. I got way up here, all right? And I didn't think. I didn't mean to do what I did. But it's an open building. Wasn't nothing in it. No chairs, no pews, nothing. And I was hanging a banner. And I turned around and go get another nail and hit it in. And when I did, on those two chairs up here, I just stepped out into nowhere. My wife's going, ah! You know, and the youth pastor say, you all right? Okay. Went on. I mean, I'm sitting there going, oh, it was my left side. I hurt for months after that. You know what I did? I stepped down. It was an accident. Sometimes we step down by way of accidents. We don't know that it's coming, but there it is. Sometimes we get hurt over it. Other times we step down on purpose, and we get hurt over that as well. Step up. Please don't step down. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, that's our message. Tonight, Lord, please, you get all the honor and glory from your people. Lord, this is not about show. This is not about dragging people and all. This is about a personal relationship with you who have created us to be what you want us to be. And I don't think we all measure up, Lord. I think we've all failed in some way. Help us to renew that tonight. Help us to step up. Help us to find that old altar in our heart, that old altar in a church. Help us, Lord, to be what we've been created to be and never, ever, accidentally or on purpose, step down. Help us to guard it. Help us to guard what God's done in our life. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking about, I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many in here this hour would say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. Would you step your hand up as a testimony to that? Everywhere. God bless you. Put them down. You that just raised your hand and said, you're saved, you know it, you're going to heaven. How many of you would be honest and say, God spoke to me this week personally? Would you just slip your hand up? God spoke to me. All right, let's stand together. Everybody standing. Put your hand down. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Except for those who just raised your hand and said God spoke to you. How about you speaking with Him?